You can still buy my digs on Amazon as well. Hallelujah. Let's start, Dave. There's a few folk missing, but we'll just go for it. Hallelujah. Amen. Our worship wasn't the same without Nunzi, was it? You can see Nunzi's away. I've got my shirt out. I'm not tucked in as normal. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, you are a good, good God. You are a wonderful God. Thank you for all that you've shown us so far today, Father. Thank you for our worship. Thank you for the numerous musicians that we listen to today. Thank you for their ministry, Father. We thank you for the people that testified, spoke about your goodness, how good you are to us. I thank you now that it's time to gather around your word, focus on Jesus, focus on the scriptures, focus on these seeds that we're going to plant in our hearts. We thank you for these incorruptible seeds. Thank you that they are breathed of you, Father. We thank you that they are perfect. I speak out that they will find good ground in our heart. Speak out understanding in the mighty name of Jesus so that we can see fruit produced. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this process that we're going through, Father. We worship you and we praise you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So, the festive period is upon us. Come here a minute, Edie. Just let people see. just wanted to show you the festive period is upon us. Some of us are wearing Christmas jumpers. Thank you. Christmas trees up. Who's got their tree up? You've got, Lisa had her tree up on the 1st of November. 1st of October? Any advances on the 1st of October? No, that's just too early. So is the 1st of December. Too early. Our tree is being put up next Friday, which is great because I'm in London. That'll be good. But yeah, festive period's upon us. Christmas trees, Christmas jumpers. Good old one there, AD. It's ramping up in shops and supermarkets and stores, isn't it? Anyone heard Last Christmas yet? Anyone heard? Well, you know all the Christmas songs. We're hearing them. The music, the lights. The secular side of Christmas is kind of just going crazy. And my message today is going to be on the one word that describes Christmas. So, well, you never know. But what I want to do, I used the whiteboard, or what's this called? Flip chart, 2 weeks ago, and I've kind of got I like flip charts. So, I want you to put your secular, worldly, commercial heads on. I know that'll be really difficult for you. Are you cold, Carl?
Yeah.
All right. Worldly, secular, commercial heads on, and give me the one word that you think describes Christmas in that context. How do you spell that? Extravagant. Okay, extravagant. Presents. Xmas. Are you just trying to get big words? That is a good word. People are exploited to go into debt.
Yes.
For Christmas.
Yes.
Thank you, Dave. I'll throw them up. You just bat them straight back. Santa. How about stress?
Yeah. Pressure.
Pressure. Right, we're at the bottom, so that'll do. Well done. Okay, so... did anybody else hear that we were finished, that part? There we go. Thank you. So, presents, food, drink. We missed quite a bit. Family. Oh, that comes under stress, doesn't it? Debt, grief, loads of one words that can describe Christmas. My message today is going to be about one word that I think describes the whole nativity, the whole Christmas story, whatever you want to call it. So, we're going to continue playing this guessing game. So take off your secular, worldly, consumerism, exploitation, whatever, heart, and put back on your Christian heart. So, kindness, giving, loving, thank you. You've not got it yet, but carry on.
Christ.
Good one. Sorry, I missed that, Carol.
Sozo.
Ooh, we're getting into the Greek now.
Shalom.
Shalom, Hebrew as well. Shalom. Yeah. Emmanuel. Is that UL or UAL?
UEL.
All right, okay. Savior.
Mankind.
Yeah. Stable in the sick. Yeah, amygdala there. We'll put that in this one. Very good. Very good. Not got it. But that doesn't matter. Because that was just a. You know, there are lots of one words there we could talk about Christmas. Jesus. Christ, obviously. Savior. Yeah, Emmanuel, giving's another one, or gifts. You know, Jesus Christ, the ultimate gift. That could have been the one word. Reconciliation. Reconciliation. For me, the more I study out the Christmas message, that's kind of what it's all about. Turn with me to Luke 2. Luke 2. And I really want to get to 13 and 14, obviously, but I'm going to read right from the start. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And the taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, and to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in a swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger in the stable. No, because there was no room for them in the inn. And they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. There's the Christmas message. The crux of the matter, whether you want to call it a Christmas story, the nativity, I don't know what you want to call it. But that, for me, is the crux of it. The crux of the birth of Jesus, the Christmas story. Yes, it's about the birth of Jesus, but the word I want to deal about, I've said it now, reconciliation, is all about why he came. Not when he came, not even where he came, although that comes into it a little bit in this story. But for me, it's all about why he came. That must be the main point when we're talking about Jesus. Why? Why did he come? Why was it necessary? Why did he have to be born? And there's the crux. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Not peace on earth. On earth, peace. I'm not going to go down that way. I'll just get on my soapbox and I'll be here for ages talking about that. I've told you before, if you want to send me Christmas cards, that's great. Don't send me one with peace on earth or you'll be getting it straight back. Amen. It's peace. On earth, peace. What type of peace? Goodwill toward men. This, my friends, is the true meaning of Christmas. This is why Jesus came. This is one of my favorite scriptures. I mean, my other one is, Be it unto me according to thy word. But I just think this is amazing. Glory to God. On earth, peace, goodwill toward men. God, I'm really, really competing against that music today, haven't I? I'll have to speak louder than I normally do. Yeah. We'll be fine. Not even when he was born, not even where he was born. But right here, this tiny little scripture, 4, 5, 6, 8 words, tells us why Jesus came. It is my favorite Christmas scripture, but it's a scripture we can use every day. Because you know what, guys? It's as relevant today as it will be on Christmas, and it will be as relevant in 6 months' time as it was in Christmas, because this is such an important and relevant verse for every single one of us. This is what we should be telling people over the Christmas period. This is what we should be screaming from the rooftops, telling them what Christmas is all about. This is what we need to be talking about. One word sums it all up, and it's that word, reconciliation. But it's not even in the passage, Vic. No, but it's implied. And we'll see scriptures later that actually see that when he fulfilled that. So this is the message. This is a Christmas story for me. The why in this whole account. Why did Jesus come? More importantly, why did he come as a man? Why did he come to earth as a man? Why did Jesus... And we've spent a lot of time in Colossians recently, haven't we? So we know who Jesus was and we know who Jesus is. He's Almighty God. He's King of the universe. He's the Creator. Why did he, in a sense, he is so holy and mighty, why did he have to lower himself to come down and be like me and you? That's the way I look at it. It's almost like having to lower himself. But he didn't look on it like that. He didn't look on it as lowering himself. But why did Jesus come? Why did he have to come? Well, it's a message of love. Did we have that word up there? Yeah, loving. It's a message of love. A loving God. A God who wanted relationship with man again and a God who was willing to do anything to get back in relationship with you.
Amen.
You know, I'm out of relationship with quite a few people. Have been over the years. You know, I've not done everything I could put myself out in order to get back into relationship. But God did. God was willing to do anything and everything to get back in relationship with you. With you. Every single one of us. Awesome. And he was willing to do something amazing and wonderful. There are loads of religions about this world, isn't there? Now, what we believe in, I think, isn't a religion, actually. But it's classed as a religion. But there is no religion out there that has done anything like our God has done. Come to earth as a man and suffer as a man and die as a man to come back into relationship with man. It's only our God who's done that. That is amazing. That is wonderful. Why did he have to? Well, we read our Bibles. We all know there was a problem. If you start reading for the start, you'll see it was good, then it wasn't a good. We know there was a problem. We know there was this issue. We read our word, we see it. Man brought sin into this world. Mankind brought sin into this world. And it was a huge problem because it ruined the perfect relationship that God had with mankind. Ruined that perfect relationship. Sin came in, brought about this rift, caused a problem between man and God, caused this hostility in a sense. God, a holy God, holy, perfect, from that point when sin came in, couldn't have a true relationship with sinful man. A holy God just couldn't. It's not that he didn't love us. He's always loved us. Even at the deepest point of wallowing in that pig, you know what, when we've been in our sties, even at that point, he still loved us. But you know what? He couldn't have that proper relationship because sin had caused this gap to come between us. And we just couldn't relate properly the way that God had designed. So the law was instigated to cover sin and partly deal with it. But this was not enough. The law was never enough. The law was never perfect. And the word says there was always something better to come. But the law was put in so that men could get back into this kind of relationship with God. Mankind and God apart. There was a break in the relationship. But God wanted that relationship back. God always wanted that relationship. That's why he created us. You know, he didn't create us just to come down here and do our own thing, which most of us thought about before we were born again. And maybe even after we were born again. You know, God created us to be in relationship with us. But we mucked it up big time. And there was that gap. But God's plan, right from the start, always was to bring about reconciliation. That's where the R word comes in. Reconciliation. God always wanted to bring us back. He always wanted us to get back in a relationship. And that word reconciliation, that means when two warring parties or two parties that had things against each other are brought back into relationship or brought back into partnership. And that's what God wanted. And he wanted this so much. Now, if you look at the Bible all the way through up until Jesus came, the way I see it is, most of mankind didn't give two hoots about that relationship. They weren't really worried about it. They didn't seem concerned about it. They didn't think it was an issue. So it's not as if there were two parties willing to discuss and negotiate to bring about this reconciliation. No, most of mankind didn't give two hoots. wallowing in their sin, not even aware that they needed a relationship with God, or pretending they didn't need a relationship with God, not observing that it was a problem. And the same is true today. Most people I see don't want a relationship with God, don't think they need a relationship with God, aren't aware of it. Except when the proverbial hits the proverbial. Or, you know, I used to be like this. I never thought I needed God, didn't want anything to do with him. But you know when you're lying awake at 3 o'clock in the morning and wondering what's going to happen to you? I think everybody knows there's a God and wants there to be a God. But they're just pretending. But it seems true today, most people not even concerned, not even worried, don't give a second thought, about a relationship with God. But God cares. And God cared. But even God had a problem. God had a problem. Man threw away the relationship. Man brought sin in. Man threw away that authority. So a man had to get it back. But every man that was born had a sin nature, was born in sin, was born of sin, lived in sin, so was not capable to do anything about it. Only God himself could deal with the issue. But it had to be a man. But only God could do it. Who do we know who's a man and who's God? Jesus. See, that's why Jesus had to come. He was God, and he came as a man. I mentioned already Colossians. I've been dragging you through Colossians verse by verse. You cannot not know that Jesus is God. Was that right? Yeah. You must know that Jesus is God. That sounds better. After that teaching. Because I think I said it every week in Colossians, actually, did I? I must have mentioned it once or twice. Jesus is God. But we know he was born as a man. How that works, I don't know. But the Bible says so. Don't know how it works. 100% man, 100% God. I mean, I do maths. I don't know how two things can be 100%. But maybe God will show me the equation one day, how it works. And that's what Luke 2:14 is all about. God had to do this, but it had to be a man, and reconciliation was needed. So Jesus, the man God, the God man, whatever you want to say, came on earth to bring peace. What kind of peace? Goodwill toward men. Who was he sent from? God. So he was bringing God's goodwill toward mankind. Coming to bring God's love, mercy, compassion to mankind to deal with sin, to bring forgiveness. We had forgiveness. To bring the sozo package. To bring in forgiveness and put in place this reconciliation. And here is what I especially love about God's plan for redeeming mankind, for this reconciliation. It was completely one-sided. Completely one-sided. Like I said, most of mankind didn't care two hoots. But God knew what was needed. Because you know what? God knows what's best for us. And he wanted that reconciliation. So his plan was one-sided, all down to God. He wanted it. He planned it. He brought it about, even when we didn't have a clue or just weren't interested. And we know he did it because we've got the New Covenant Scriptures. So turn to my favorite passage of Scripture in the whole Bible. Thank you, Chris. 2 Corinthians 5:17 to 21. Look at verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us. Do you notice that's the past tense? See, that's what's great about the word. If you rightly divide it, you look at the Old Testament, it tells you what Jesus is going to do. You look at the Gospels, and you see Jesus doing it. And then you read the New Covenant, the New Testament, epistles of Paul especially, and you see Jesus having done it. And I dare you to find a contradiction. I dare you to find where that never happens. promised, see it, told it's been done. That's through the whole of Scripture. And all things are of God, who hath, past tense, reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. See, it's got nothing to do with us. All one-sided. Through Jesus, he reconciled us to himself. It tells us that twice. He reconciled us to himself. All one-sided. No longer any issues with sin. Due to the birth, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, what we call his finished work. Remember, when I used to talk about his finished work, I used to be talking about the cross. And then I told you I had this revelation that his finished work is also his death and his resurrection. Amen. Well, you know what? It's so much more than that. It's also his birth. That finished work, from his birth right through to his resurrection and his ascension, his finished work. God has reconciled us to himself. It is a done deal. Doesn't matter how you think about it. Doesn't matter what you're doing. Doesn't matter what you think, what you believe. The word says you have been reconciled to him. He no longer has an issue. He no longer has a problem with sin. The problem with sin was dealt with just under 2,000 years ago. It's not an issue for God anymore. That's what Jesus came to do. For him, this problem, this issue that mankind caused, it's now been solved. For him. Because Jesus came, God as a man, and dealt with the problem. God doesn't have an issue anymore. He's fine with it now. But what about mankind? Well, mankind must accept this gift of reconciliation. We could have used gift as the one word for Christmas. That could fit into both secular and Christian, couldn't it? I do like a good gift. But man has to accept that gift of reconciliation. Now, we put gifts on there. How many leave their gifts wrapped under the tree and never open them? Anybody? Nobody? Nobody? Never leave a gift wrapped up. Never not open a gift. What about joy, peace, acceptance, healing, prosperity? Acceptance, reconciliation, all those other gifts that God's given us. Why do so many of us leave them wrapped up under the tree? That's just a throwaway. You know, but God has given us the gift of reconciliation. But guys, we need to grab it. And as Nunzi says, like I do, open it like an ape. Just rip open that paper. Lisa, who's slightly different from me, likes to open hers very gently because she's got thoughts of using the paper next year. But not me. I open it like an ape. And that's what we need to do with healing, prosperity, reconciliation. Just rip that open. If we read the Gospels, when we're talking about what Jesus is doing, don't we see man after man after man rejecting Jesus and the gift of reconciliation? But do we ever see him taking his compassion, love, and mercy, taking that gift away? Never. Same's true today. I don't know about you guys, but I speak to a fair amount of people on my travels and when I'm doing all my other stuff. Man after man after man rejects Jesus. But does Jesus ever take that love, mercy, compassion, gift of reconciliation away? Never. Look at 2 Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord is longsuffering. He's patient. He's waiting. For every single man to grab that gift. That's his desire. He's never taken it away. I know from my own experience, well, hindsight, isn't hindsight a wonderful thing? Yeah. I was going to say, oh, maybe great to have that, but isn't that just like discernment or a word of knowledge or something? we've probably got that to look in and looking forward and see what's coming. But isn't hindsight a wonderful thing? But I look back and I saw God calling me for a long time. Through my wife, through her family, through other believers, through the guys at the football when I used to go with the Baptist church, thought it would be easy and get kicked to bits. A bunch of animals they were on the football pitch. But you know what? You know what I learned by playing football against Baptist men? No, Christians are ordinary blokes. And kick and bite and scratch on the football pitch? No. But the minister was the worst. Charles kicked me a few times. Anyway, I saw God was calling through my wife, through her family, through other believers, and I rejected and rejected and rejected. But was that gift ever taken away? Never. God was just waiting. Never gave up. God never stopped believing in me. I mightn't have believed in him, but he never stopped believing in me. Unfortunately, one day I accepted it. Praise God, I eventually did. And just kick yourself that it took so long. How pig-headed and whatever I was, but never mind. But all men had to do, all I had to do was accept that gift of reconciliation. That's all men have to do. The same is true today. See, God has taken his step towards us and put out his hand. But if we're out of reach, AD, come here again. You will wear a Christmas jumper, I'm sorry, but. So just stand over there. Stand over there, that'll do. Okay, so we've had a big disagreement, right? Really bad. Probably about our jumpers or something, I don't know. But we had a really bad disagreement, right? Now, I want to make things, we can't reach, can we? No, I want to make things better. Still can't reach. So I'm God. I've moved forward. I've done my bit. What do you have to do? See, we've both got to move forward. Cheers, lady. We've both got to do our thing. God's done his thing. God's work is finished. How many times have I said that? What is Jesus doing right now? Sitting down. Perfect. He's sitting down because his work is finished. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's steads, be ye reconciled to God." See, there's a second bit. There's a second bit in this reconciliation thing. God's done his bit. He doesn't have an issue anymore. He's dealt with it. He's stepped forward. He's put his hand out to reform the relationship. But if we don't do our thing, if we don't say, okay, yes, I'm reconciled. I get that. Thank you. Step forward and shake his hand. It's not going to happen. You don't benefit from it. I could have been standing here with a gift for AD. Said, here it is. If he didn't come and take it, he wouldn't have got it. Can't get him a new jumper. Hallelujah. God reconciled us to himself, but we must choose to be reconciled to God. We have to make that conscious choice or we'll not benefit. You see, in our old man, our old sinful nature, before we were born again, we were enemies of God. No matter how good we were, how many good works we did, nothing could change that. Our nature was sinful. But God dealt with all that. It's not an issue for him anymore. But it still is an issue for us because our true nature wanted nothing to do with God. Our true nature was pushing us towards sin. But we need to choose to change that nature, to believe in Jesus, to speak it out, to be born again, in a real sense, to choose to be reconciled to God. That's one of the things we do at the point of our salvation. We don't say, there's a long list of things, but one of the things that happens at salvation is we reconcile ourselves to God. We do 2 Corinthians 5:20. Be ye reconciled to God. You make the choice, you do it. And when we are born again, our spirit is created new, isn't it? In righteousness and true holiness, Ephesians 3:24, I think. Righteous and truly holy. Instantly, we're like Jesus. And you know what that new spirit can now do? All things, yeah, but it can be in relationship with God. Yeah, we are created new, all things. And we can do everything. But it's created like Jesus. And of course, Jesus can have a relationship with God the Father. And because our new spirit is like that, we can have that relationship. For he hath made him to be sin for us, and you know sin, that was Jesus, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, and then be able to enter into a true relationship with God the Father. And that reconciliation is complete. Both parties are now back together. He's reconciled us to himself. We've reconciled ourselves to him. Done deal. You see, God is a spirit. We need to understand that. We also need to understand that we've got a spirit. Spirit, soul, and body. And that old sinful nature could never have a relationship with God. But our new man, that second man, that's for you, Nunzi. Our new man, that second man, that new creature is true and perfect and can have a relationship with him. And that is an absolute miracle. We could have had miracle up on one of them. The whole story about Jesus being born is an absolute miracle. But the biggest miracle, I believe, is that through this reconciliation and finished work of Jesus Christ, we can be created new and can have a relationship with God the Father. That is the true miracle of Christmas. The birth of Jesus, the start of his finished work, that has allowed this miracle to occur. Jesus brought this peace. Jesus brought this reconciliation from God so that we could reconcile ourselves to him. He started the process, we finish it, and we benefit from it. But he benefits as well. Why does he benefit? Because Sean, he wants a relationship with you. That's why he benefits. You say, well, I might benefit, but what does this really mean for me, Vic? What does it mean for me right now? Did this not happen like 2,000 years ago? Well, yes, you were reconciled to God a little under 2,000 years ago. God solved the sin issue. He bridged his part of the gap. He has nothing against us now. And this is what it means for you. He has got nothing against you anymore. Absolutely nothing. No issue. No problem. Nothing between you and God. Nothing holding you back apart from yourself. Nothing holding you back from a relationship with God apart from yourself. Apart from ourselves, I'll say. You may be holding on to things, but he's not. You know, this might sound a bit brutal. I've said this to you a few times. What right do you have to hold on to some of your sin and some of the things you've done if God isn't? Who made you God? You know, that sounded a bit harsh. Let's say it a bit more gently. You know, guys, God has got absolutely nothing against you. Nothing. Why are you holding on to that silly little thing from 20 years ago? Why are you beating yourself up about that thing you did last week? He's not even aware of it. And it's not that he's forgetful. He chooses not to be aware of it. Why? Because that thing you're holding on to was on Jesus on the cross. And it's been dealt with, and it's done. So guys, let it go. Stop holding on to the things that are holding you back. That's why this is relevant for us today, right now. God does not have a little black book with all your nonsense in it. That's God. Yeah, for Eveline, he would need a big black book. She said it. She said it, not me. God doesn't even have a big black book for Evelyn. We've got to be fair. Evelyn's had a few more years on me, so my book would be catching up. But, you know, he doesn't... He has Hebrews 10:17. I knew I was going somewhere with that. Yes, keep looking at your notes every now and again, Vic. It's a good idea. Hebrews 10:17. You don't believe me. Believe the word. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Who's speaking there? God the Father. Who's they? Us. You. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. It doesn't say I've forgotten. It says I will not remember. That's a conscious choice. And this scripture is a new covenant reality right now. That's why this is relevant for us. This is possible because of the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus. This is possible because of the reconciliation process. That's why this word is so important. We can live out believing Hebrews 10:17 because of that reconciliation that we have now taken part in. Doesn't matter what you've done. Now, I'm not making light of it. I don't know what you've done. And not many people come to me with a list every Sunday. You know, we don't do confession here, okay? So I don't know what you get up to. But it doesn't matter what you've done. You know, it might not be good for you, but it doesn't affect God. And it shouldn't affect your relationship with God. How is that relationship with God affected? Because we let it. Because we think, oh, I know what I've done. I know what I think. I know who and what I kicked. I know what I didn't do this week. I know what I have done this week. And we hold on to that. And we think, well, kind of because I know it's bad and because I'm giving myself grief about it, surely God will be. No, he's not. Because he saw it 2,000 years ago. Oh, but, you know, oh, God's seen me doing this. God saw you doing that 2,000 years ago because it was on Jesus on the cross. Oh, how can God love me if I'm thinking like this? Because God saw it 2,000 years ago on Jesus on the cross. Because it's been dealt with. Because there's been reconciliation. You know, when two parties have been reconciled, they're not at war anymore. When two parties have been reconciled, they're at peace. What does peace mean? Lack of fighting, lack of war, lack of hostility. God has no sense of hostility towards any one of us anymore. And I know what I do. I know what I think. I know what I've done. I do know what some of you have been up to because you told me. But I don't know what you've all been up to. But the way God looks at you, that's irrelevant. Absolutely irrelevant. Now, I'm not encouraging you to do all those things because it's not good for you, it's not good for your family, it's not good for the church. We know that. Sin's not good for us. But in the overall scheme of things, in eternity, it doesn't matter. Why? Because you've been reconciled to God. That thing that you did has been dealt with on the cross, and in God's eyes, it's not there anymore. Hallelujah, when God looks at us, he looks on the level of spirit to spirit. Yeah, amen, Chris. Hallelujah. I've got a mirror at home. And I know what I think. So, hallelujah, that when God looks at me, he sees my born-again spirit. And you know what he sees? He sees Jesus. See, when he looks at you, Gary, you know who he sees? Jesus. Yeah. Yes. Let's add that. Jesus, absolutely. No need for that, I hope. You're born again. He sees Jesus. Doesn't matter what me and Gary have done during the week. He still sees Jesus. Looks at you, Ali. Sees Jesus. Doesn't matter what you've done during the week. Doesn't matter what you've done to AD. Although, not a great idea, but never mind. But you know what I mean? He sees Jesus. He sees Righteousness and true holiness. He sees perfection in our born-again spirit. Why? Because we've gone through this process of reconciliation because Jesus was born. That's why this word is so important. That's the word for Christmas, nativity, whatever you want to call it. Because of reconciliation, we can stand here today as born-again believers and say, God has nothing on me. Because he chooses to have nothing on me. Not because I'm a perfect person in the flesh or in the mind, but because I'm a perfect person in the spirit. And that's what he chooses to look at. Oh, that's awesome. I haven't a clue where I am in my notes. That went way off. God is not holding anything against you. Now, the enemy may be. You may be. Your friends and family may be. That's why sin's not good for us. But God is not holding that against us. And you know, if God's not holding it against us, what's the issue? Why are we getting so hung up about things? Now, I'm not being blasé about sin. I keep telling you that. It's not an encouragement to sin. Sin's not good for us. But in our relationship with God, he doesn't see sin in our lives and turn away, like some of us are taught. He doesn't look at us and is disappointed with us. God is never disappointed when he looks at us. Never. Would God ever... Was Jesus on his... Is Jesus sitting on his right?
Yes.
Yeah. Would God ever look to his right, to Jesus, and be disappointed? No. So who are you exactly like in your spirit? So how would he... Why would he ever be disappointed in you? Why do we think he's going to be disappointed in us? Because we live in a body and we've got a mind. And they're not perfect, eh? But when he looks at us in the spirit, oh, awesome. But Vic, you don't know what I've done. Yeah, I don't. But God does. Hebrews 10:12. But this man, Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Did Jesus miss anything? Was Jesus' finished work perfect? Yeah. So what makes you so special is God holding something against you. What's so special about your sin? I remember one guy teaching on this, and he was going on about, and I'm not trying to put the boot in, but if we're holding on to things, he was saying it's a pride issue. Because our sin must be so bad and so special. Now, I'm not so sure about that, but I'll just throw it out there. And what gives us the right to hold on to our sin when God doesn't? We need to get rid of that mentality that God's got something against us. Because New Covenant Scripture is very clear. All sin. There's 1 John 2:2. Please? Yes. 1 John 2:2. And he is the propitiation for our sins, but not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Are you of this world? Yeah. Well, your sins have been paid for. How much sins? Some of them? All of them. All sins forever. One sacrifice. What makes us so special that we think God's holding something against us? He's not. He can't be, or he'd be going against his word. Does God ever go against his word? Never. If there is a problem in this relationship between us and God, there's only one person at fault. And it's not him. We're not God. Not in this part, anyway. If there's a problem in that relationship, it is our thoughts, our beliefs, our words that are causing the issue, not God. You see, Jesus brought about reconciliation through his birth, his death, his resurrection. Brought us the potential of this new life. That's the miracle. And it all started with peace, with reconciliation, goodwill from God brought to earth. That's the whole thing about the Christmas message. That's the miracle of Christmas. The truth is right now, and there are people in here who need to hear this and believe this. All right? Listen to this. You need to believe this. This is a pastoral command. Not often I do that. You need to believe this. The truth is that you have been reconciled to God. Absolutely and unconditionally reconciled to God. And God has nothing against you anymore. Absolutely nothing. God is fully accepting of you. But Vic, I did this morning. But he is fully accepting of you. But Vic, I was thinking this last night. He is fully accepting of you. No matter what you've done, what you're doing, God forbid whatever you're planning to do. But he'll still love you. You're still reconciled to him. In his eyes, you are perfect. Why? Because he can't see that sin anymore. We need to know about spirit, soul, and body. And it's in the spirit he looks at us. In that spirit, we're perfect. That passage in Hebrews says, God has no more sense of any of our sin. No more sins. Your sins and iniquities will he remember no more. That's the good news of reconciliation. God is looking at you today, looking at your spirit, and he's saying, I see you perfect. I see you holy. I see you righteous. I see you as a saint. Guys, we need to start believing that and thinking that and saying that ourselves. And we can have that because of reconciliation. That is how God is seeing us right now. Even after the thing you did yesterday. Even after the thing you did just before coming to church. Even after the thing you're going to do this afternoon or this evening. Through Jesus, he has performed the miraculous so that you can come to him. He has opened the way. He has taken that step forward through the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus, and you can now take that step to him. And we've all done it. We're born again. But we need to believe that. He has opened the way to him through the reconciliation, through the peace brought by Jesus. That, my friends, is my one word for Christmas. The truth that we can tell people. That's what we need to tell people about this season, about reconciliation. We have been given the ministry of reconciliation. That ministry is to tell people about reconciliation. I don't believe that in that context, a ministry of reconciliation is getting two people together. You know, we're not reconciliation ministers, and if Carl and Sean have a fallout, I go and reconcile them. Although I'm here if you need me, guys. Okay. That's not what that ministry of reconciliation is about. Man, you got some brownie points this morning, Sean, so yeah. That's not what a ministry of reconciliation is about. Our ministry of reconciliation is telling people about Jesus Christ and the reconciliation he bought and the reconciliation that we can have. There's the Christmas message. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Awesome. Amen.